I was born bold.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au. Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Benny Gale to join us at 20 past 8, the Richmond CEO. Can't wait to have a chat with him, but it is all about, if you're not Richmond anyway, it's all about the trade period. It kicks off next week. Trade radio's off today, though. It's up and running and it is firing today. The free agency starts on Friday. So much kicking around. Sam Edmund is our man. He's all over it and has been for a number. It's been rolling for about a month already. Officially gets underway Monday. Trade radio off today. Sammy, welcome.
G'day, Gaz. G'day, Tim. And topical, you got Brendan Gale on. I thought our boss, Hutchie, put it best over the weekend. Well done, Richmond, on the dynasty. But the chase to end it all starts now. And where are we? 4 days out before the opening of free agency, as you say, and 8 days before the start of the trade period. And there's some... not an eruption at the moment, but there's some lava building inside some volcanoes out there.
Well, you're here for Ty Power. Big footy final sale is now on. What's the biggest one that's just bubbling before we officially start?
I reckon the best way to bracket this at the moment is in terms of the big stories, and you can cast your net anywhere at the moment, but it concerns the four restricted free agents and the three of those that are the subject of standoffs between the clubs they're leaving and the clubs who have wooed them with the AFL's secret herbs and spices compo formula swirling all around it. So that's obviously Jeremy Cameron, Joe Danaher and Brad Crouch. And then there's the Adam Treloar situation, which, like we told you 12 months ago, guys, he's far from being on stable ground, and that is evolving as we speak. And then there's all those other trades in the background, the Josh Dunkleys, Higgins, Sean and Jack, potentially, Isaac Smith, Tom McDonald, Alir, Ben Brown, you know, Tom Phillips, the list goes on and on. And those fringe Tigers, if you like, that do they tip out as well? I think you spoke about just before the news there. Markov, Higgins, I mentioned. You know, Nathan Broad, Jake Arts is unsigned as well.
This is unconfirmed, but have you heard anything about Clayton Oliver? We had a couple of texts about him this morning saying that maybe we're going to hear something explosive come from that camp maybe later today. Have you heard anything in the conversations you've had?
Ask Gary about this one. Don't get him started. This is the rumour, Tim, that this is the rumour of trade period, to be honest with you, this year. It's Clayton Oliver. I won't say completely sure. I'm 99.99999% sure nothing right will happen. There have been murmurings, of course, and I think a lot of it false, but the restlessness from the player was real. I think we can say that was absolutely real for a period of time. But as Melbourne will tell you, and as maybe some of Clayton Oliver's potential suitors would tell you, and there will be many, and he has been linked to Carlton, there is a massive difference between a player being disgruntled and then a 23-year-old dual All-Australian putting in a trade request and how that would actually look. I mean, they are poles apart.
Well, that's a Zach Merritt-type situation where you hear these rumblings around Zach Merritt. Now, he's put that to bed. He's categorically stated that he'll be at Essendon next year. Are we waiting now for Clayton Oliver to make a similar type statement?
I don't think so. I don't think it's of that nature. I don't think Melbourne feel the need that they have to do anything either. And he's not high maintenance. That's a pretty harsh term. But Clayton Oliver is the sort of kid who, I think we've spoken about this before, guys, you know, needs to be reassured of his status in the team. I'm not sure how the best and fairest set of results went down with him. He's a competitor, isn't he? And he wants to be the best player he can possibly be. And, of course, they will say, Melbourne, that, of course, he was unhappy with the season we had. If you don't make finals, you're always unhappy. And that's the spin that clubs put on things. But I think, to be fair to them, it is a massive stretch that Clayton Oliver would leave Melbourne this year. Anyway, they want to have a good year next year, I reckon.
He's not going anywhere, Sam. I'm telling you, there would be hell to pay if Clayton Oliver's not in the Melbourne jumper next year. What about Josh Dunkley? That gathered some momentum. The Bombers confident that they'll be able to get him, yet he's got 2 years to run.
They are, and I've got to put some jam in this donut, boys, to be honest. There are reports that Eddie's actually, not only has he not, said to the Western Bulldogs, I'm absolutely staying, but there are reports out there that I haven't verified that he's absolutely keen to get across to Essendon. So we'll watch this space. This might be one we can flesh out throughout the day, but a very important player for the Western Bulldogs. It is said, though, guys, that Essendon, they're not sitting back on their hands at all. They have been super aggressive in the trade front in terms of identifying targets, going after targets and putting proposals to them. And I think Josh Dunkley is just the tip of the iceberg here.
Sure. Where else are they going, do you think, then?
No, I don't know. I don't have any names, but speaking to a lot of other clubs, they are saying that Essendon are just knocking on every door possible, regardless of contracted, otherwise, seem to be gettable, not gettable. You know, Josh Dunkley, who would have thought a few weeks ago that he could be seen as being gettable out of the Western Bulldogs? You know, a team seemingly on the rise, a couple of years to go on a contract, a young player valued there, wanted there, and yet this smoke has come out, and it hasn't exactly been snuffed out, guys.
I can't, again, know nothing about what's going on at the Western Bulldogs or at Essendon, but Josh Dunkley with 2 years to go, I can't see how the Western Bulldogs will even entertain that. What have we heard from Collingwood in relation to Adam Treloar? Now, this has been kicking around for 2 weeks. Has there been a statement from Collingwood to say, hey, Adam's contracted till 2024, we love him and he's not going anywhere? Have we heard yet?
No, and that's not forthcoming at the moment because they don't, Gary. They won't say that because they don't want him there.
Right.
That's getting really messy. Now, the contract is until 2025. It's back-ended as well and huge in the back end. My understanding, it's between $800,000 and $900,000 a season at the back end. Of course, signed pre-COVID, and the Pies only did that, though, last year, in the middle of last year. So my reading of it at the moment is that Collingwood want Treloar to make the first move. They desperately want this contract off the books. And maybe the best way to put it is the Pies want the murder committed, but they don't want to pull the trigger. So I think the club like a narrative whereby perhaps Adam Treloar instigates talks at rival clubs so that it becomes the story that, you know, Treloar wants out. But as it stands at the moment, I don't believe that's the case. And there might be a tipping point where Treloar decides, stuff it, I'll play for a club where I'm wanted. But that's certainly not at the moment. And he's as resolute now as what he was when he spoke with, you know, Jared Waitley and Robbo and AFL 360. He's thinking of day one of preseason down there at Collingwood. But I think that scenario petrifies Collingwood's list management team. And it is the situation that is the source of widespread curiosity and even bewilderment amongst other list managers across the competition.
He was very careful in what he actually said when he went on 360 that night. If you go back and listen to the words that he used about the contract that he still had, he was very careful about those words that he chose. You need to have somebody that actually wants you on the other side of the equation. Are Gold Coast or GWS or Brisbane interested in Treloar?
Well, Gold Coast definitely are. They've dangled the carrot again, like they did 12 months ago. This time it's real, though. They were never going to give up pick 1 and 2 last year, Tim, but they will give up pick 5 this year. The other added layer of curiosity to it, of course, is that the contract is so big. There's basically no club, certainly not Gold Coast, that can absorb it in its entirety.
How big are we talking?
Well, as I said, in the back end of this, it's still got another 5 years to run on this contract. We're talking between $800,000 and $900,000 at the tail end. So he's done the right thing by back ending the deal, signed pre-COVID, but he's huge in the back end. So Gold Coast couldn't afford that. So what would have to happen is the Pies, in pretty much every scenario you can imagine, would have to contribute to some of his salary. So it almost beggars belief that they'd have to roll the sleeves up, force it through. But that's how desperate they are. I mean, Mason Cox has hit a trigger. That's really hurt them. Tom Phillips is on pretty big money. He's getting a lot of love. He's on the trade table as well. We know Brody Grundy signed that for $1 million a season for 7. Darcy Moore at $8,850 for 2. And then you go back through the rest of that senior core. They're all on pretty good contracts.
So how's this work for a club then? I'm going on what you're telling me and the industry. So Adam Treloar digs his heels in and says, I'm not going anywhere. Ends up playing for a club that he knows doesn't want him. How's that going to work out going forward?
Well, that's almost what he did last year. Right. I mean, he knows in his heart of hearts that Collingwood, in an ideal world, would have done the deal last year.
So it's just modern footy, Sammy? You just got to suck it up? Is that it?
I don't know, Gary. No, I don't think so. Right. I think this is unique.
I don't think it's a great environment to be working in. Hey, Gag, what about Richmond? We just talked about them and how, you know, they'd be pronounced favourites for the flag next year. No one I would imagine, though, will lose who they don't want to lose. But there is talk of Caddy and Jack Higgins maybe on the way out. What do you know there?
Yeah, well, I think the Jack Higgins, I can't speak to Caddy, but the Jack Higgins one, my understanding is that's been instigated by the club, that they've told the player that there is a chance, despite the fact you contracted Jack, that he could be traded. So there's that one. I can't see them being big players in the trade period in the sense of bringing in a superstar. They did have maybe a lukewarm interest in Brad Crouch, but that ship has now sailed, of course. And then they'll get, you know, clubs coming for some of their players to try to pick them off, if you like. And Oleg Markov's one of them at the Gold Coast. I think ideally Nathan Broad would have liked a big payday somewhere else. He hasn't been able to get that. He was linked to the Suns, but they've gone cold on him. Instead, they're interested in Oleg Markov as well. So I think they'll be targeted by rival clubs. I can't see them being big players the other way, though, obviously.
Busy time for you, Sammy. We look forward to the touching base throughout the course of the week.
Can't wait, boys.
Official trade starts November 4. Free agency opens on Friday. Trade Radio, though, is up and going right now. Another decent team in that sporting precinct, Gary, you spoke about, the Melbourne Vixens. Well, yes, indeed, the Melbourne Vixens. So let's have the Vixens, the Storm, and the Tigers as the only three teams. Three marquees at the Melbourne Cup Carnival. Whisper, how about that? A reward for success.
That would be magnificent. You know the other thing we haven't talked about in this final series once?
What?
Not once.
Umpires.
No, we have talked about umpires. We haven't talked about this topic once.
Slow play.
We haven't talked about the standard or the state of the game once during the final series. Why is that?
Because the good teams are playing.
Exactly. They played a different brand of football.
And the Tigers are on a different level. And their CEO, Brendan Gale, is going to join us next. Don't forget, the call of the week could win a brand new, I'm saying brand new, Toyota Kluger GX two-wheel drive new car. Time search Toyota value. Benny Gale next.
I was born bold.
Deliverer. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverer.com.au.
The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Benny Gale to join us in a moment, the CEO of the Richmond Footy Club. I think they're giving the players a day off today. So very happy to speak to the CEO of the Richmond Footy Club. Looking forward to that, Whispers. Now, just before we do get Benny up, Doc Reed, Bruce Reed, has been a part of the Essendon Footy Club forever. And I've luckily been involved in state games where he's officiated. He's a great man, and in fact, he was our family doctor for a little while, Bruce Reed, out there in Kew.
Was he really?
And I know you've got a great relationship and a long relationship with him. How's he tracking?
Well, he's back in hospital, Gary. I don't know whether – I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to say this.
Take your time. It's a difficult set of circumstances that you and the Essendon faithful and Bruce's family are dealing with.
I'm sorry, but he's back in hospital, and I don't know if he's listening to the show this morning, but he knows how much he meant to so many of us, and he still knows how much he means to us. He's a much-loved and respected member of our family, of our football club family. So, Rudy, we love you, mate.
So that gives you some idea and sense of how significant Bruce Reed has been in the history of the Essendon Footy Club. And I know, as Tim, I know that he wasn't only and hasn't only been the doctor to the Essendon players, but to the families, the broader families of them for a long, long time. And he's touched so many of you. And I feel for you, mate, and I feel for everyone that's involved. He's doing it very, very tough at the moment. And our thoughts and prayers are with the whole family.
To Judy and all the kids and family too, and all his friends out there. We're thinking of you all at the moment.
Indeed. Hey, nicely done. Richmond Footy Club are a great story. They are, in every single way. It hasn't always been the case, and probably wasn't, well, fair to say, weren't the case, or wasn't the case, when Brendan Gale took over as the CEO, made some bold predictions based on where he wanted this footy club to be. And I don't know, you can get the pipe out right now at this particular day in 2020 and sit back and admire it. Benny, congratulations. A fantastic result.
Thanks, guys. No, it was terrific. Yeah, a really tough year, and the boys did us very, very proud.
It is. You get sick of talking about it. I know you wouldn't, but, I mean, I can imagine it's been a pretty intense period. I mean, there's so much was that we wouldn't even know about, to be perfectly honest, that you've had to deal with through the course of this year. But to emerge victorious, I think, is one of the great performances that we'll ever see.
Yeah, look, there's a lot been going on, mate. It's been a really, really tough year, but it has been for everyone. The entire AFL community has been challenged in ways we haven't been before, you know, and the competition stops and it resumes and it's in the hubs and it's hubs for 6 weeks and 8 weeks and 12 weeks, and we've had a few little faux pas along the way to deal with as well. But But it's been really tough. But you know, hold tight and not take on too much water. But build our game again towards finals and ultimately salute. It's just incredibly satisfying.
Hey, Benny, congratulations. And the way that your team conducted themselves on Saturday night was just remarkable and outstanding. The way they saw Gary Ablett off the ground in that moment spoke volumes of the way that they do see the game and their own place in the game. And I thought it was remarkable that they would actually do that. Now that you've won your three flags and you've got your 100,000 members, have you reset your next target?
No, I have. Look, a lot's been made of those targets and that vision. That was set in sort of 2009. We needed to reset our club. Our club had sort of struggled in mediocrity for years, and we needed to sort of create a sense of urgency to change gears. And we had to do it fast. I guess we've got to a stage now, we've grown our club and we've become really competitive off it, and we've been lucky enough to get a few premierships. But I mean, right now it's just about maintaining that level of competitiveness and just being a club that, like Geelong, to be honest, a club that just is always there, is always well-structured off-field, always gives his footy team a chance to compete at the highest level and contend for premierships. We're lucky enough to beat them on Saturday night, but I reckon they're still a model club in my view.
They are. There's no question about that. For others that look on enviously, what's the first thing you got to get right when you're trying to reset a footy club?
Well, it probably depends on the circumstances of each club. But for ours, and it was certainly my experience at Richmond, Gaz, was there was just a feeling that we weren't always on the same page, from board and administration and coaching players. So a lot of wonderful people doing their best, but just not all rowing in time. And in the same direction. So it's about getting that real alignment, that shared sense of purpose, that shared vision where we're trying to take the club, the shared plans, the means by which we need to get there, the things we need to do. And then, we need to build our business because we're a club that for many years have been hand-to-mouth, mate. And it was a time that when money increasingly mattered. So you get those two enabling conditions right, we felt, then you give your footy chance an opportunity to compete and succeed. No guarantees. And then bloody good players help too, mate, and coaches. Let's not kid ourselves. And number four goes all right too. He's not a bad young kid. But they're the things we prioritise that are important for us.
And how long is it? I'm fascinated about this, obviously, because there's the club that I support where I'm hoping for the same thing at some stage in my lifetime. So how long does that take to get on the same page? And what are the key appointments?
It takes a while. Just getting a really clear understanding of why we exist as a footy club. Because you could have 50 different views of why we exist. Some people think, well, we exist to win premierships, or we exist to build a strong connection with our supporter base and build. So, you work through those, you have those discussions at board level and management level, you involve football departments, and you get on the same page. And then you start to think, well, what does success look like for us and for where we've been? What does it look like? And can we see it? Can we visualise it? Can we describe it? Do we share it? And then the plans are about the things you prioritise and the things you need to do. And it just takes time, and it's trial and error, and it's success and failure. And I guess the other thing is you define success broadly. For us, it wasn't about winning games, because they were going to be few and far between early on. Mm. It was about building the strength off the field. It was about building a membership. It was about making finals first up. It was a huge measure of progress for us. And you start to build those little wins and tick those boxes, and then you build that momentum. And once you get the momentum going, and the belief just becomes self-fulfilling. And at the end of the day, you can do all that, mate, but it's the players and coaches that win your flags. And we've got some pretty good ones.
No, you've got some great players, and they're really well organised. They all seem to be on the same page, the way they play. Benny, what did you think of the night grand final itself, and would you like to see that stay and remain?
As an administrator, I feel I've got a responsibility to promote our club and take it to as many people as possible. And as someone who's very conscious of our position for the code, I feel the same. So clearly more people are going to watch the night grand final. I was there. I like the atmosphere. There was something about the presentation of it and the build-up, which I sort of liked. you know, sitting around all day waiting wasn't that great. I guess when you're in it, you're a bit more anxious. But half time, I was obviously in the rooms. I didn't see anything. But I'll defer to others on that. But look, mate, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. Is it too late? Could it be twilight? I don't know. But I certainly didn't mind it.
Was Peggy there on Saturday night?
No, she wasn't, mate. No, she. The AFL investigated the possibility of bringing up a special flight with club presidents for competing clubs and VIP sponsors a few weeks ago and having some special conditions around quarantine, but it didn't materialise. So it was that she's a very busy lady. She's on a number of boards, and it just wasn't going to work out. So she watched with a few directors back home in Melbourne.
Did you communicate with her during the game?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Look, I sit with her every game, in fact. So I spoke with her pre-game. I spoke with her post-game. So I mean, if there's anything bittersweet, that's one of the, I wouldn't say disappointments, but you know, you love to share those moments with your family, and, you know, they're moments you never forget. And you share them with your wife and your kids, your family, your president, people close to you, the members, supporters, and the fact that so many weren't able to be really closely connected with it is frustrating, but that's the year it was, mate. And I'm just happy that we won.
The last one, Benny, and I know you're probably busy and you need to get back with the group, but there's all manner of Richmond fans that are listening to this. How do they get to celebrate, acknowledge, see the supporters at some stage? Is there any plans for that in the near future, or is it just too hard?
Yeah, so at the moment, like we had a day here at our harbour. We just, you know, captured a lot of content and filmed. We're just trying to cut that up and share that through our digital platforms. You know, we've got our Jack Dye medal this evening, so that'll be, you know, streamed digitally. So we're working really hard to give them that sense of involvement. Our players have, you know, on their social media, they've been fairly colourful, Gary, as you should imagine, but they're great and they're really engaging our fans. And when we get back, we just have to assess the landscape when we get back. You know, things are changing by the minute in Melbourne, so at the appropriate time, we'll give them every opportunity. I promise them that.
I'm sure you will. You do it better than most. Hey, well done. Congratulations and enjoy, and thanks for jumping on and giving us a few minutes.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Tim.
Better go. Richmond CEO, and did Damien Hardwick say in his speech he's looking forward to the bronze statue of Smacker? Then you wouldn't put it against them, would you, at this stage? So well done. Well done to Benny, and well done to the whole club. And this one, D's had their chance at greatness. Gary, they selected Tom Scully and Jack Trengove. That's the smugness that has not been evident from the Richmond supporters.
But it's all about your decision making, isn't it?
The Tigers also passed on Matthew Pavlich at one stage, Dave in Newport. So, you know, smart, champ.
I understand that. But when you get it right, it is about your decision making. I don't know if can I quickly just tell you this story about Damien Hardwick? He went overseas and he visited this massive office over in New York. And the guy was telling me the story. He was showing him around their corporate office in New York. And you know what the thing that he was most interested in, Damien Hardwick?
What?
Was the structure of the office and the connection between those that were in the high places in the office and all the people that worked for those people that were the executives in the office.
I wrote that down, same page. And again, I see, as you'd appreciate, I always relate back to my footy club. So on the same page, you talk about connection, and my club have had an admin here, a footy department over, you know, 12K down the road. The separation of those groups has been something that I'm sure has had an impact. So you learn. Hey, for the first time, Wispy, since June 9, no new COVID cases in Victoria and no deaths.
Does that mean that we're going to come out of this lockdown soon?
Not for 3 more months, I wouldn't have thought. Let's take the 8:30 news headlines. Thank you very much, Meredith. There is a great humility out there amongst the Richmond fans. And Dave from Newport, that's okay. He's having a pot. But a lot of Richmond fans are saying, don't tempt fate, Dave. Remember tambling over Franklin? But that is fine. We all have made good decisions and bad decisions over the journey. And what you learn from speaking to someone like Brendan Gale is when you get your decisions right, you make the right appointments, you stick fat with a coach that you're convinced can take you where you need to go, you're prepared to pay the money to Dustin Martin and just hold the line despite that there was more money elsewhere. You get those decisions right, then then you at least get a chance. Not that doesn't guarantee you, you at least get a chance at the success that the Richmond Footy Club are enjoying at the moment. Dave Donaghy, the Storm CEO, has been kind enough to join us this morning on the back of, we talked a lot about it today, this magnificent organisation have had another fantastic night. They've defeated the Panthers. It got a bit tight towards the end, but he's been kind enough to take our call. Dave, congratulations.
Morning, boys. It's great to join you with another title. It's an amazing night, really, and you're right, Gary is a bit close in the end for all of our liking, but hopefully you made Melbourne proud last night.
Oh, you did. There's no question about that. We're a very, very proud city to have the Storm as part of our sporting landscape. And, I mean, how was this one received, Dave? I mean, we've had some great success over the journey. How was this one received?
Oh, it's one like no other. The whole year I think sometimes, you know, through life, you don't pause enough, Gary, and sort of take stock. And if you look back, and you know, both us and the AFL and every other sport and every other business have been through, and certainly a lot of challenges and adversity throughout the course of the year. But you know, we didn't have to get the comp going. We couldn't train in Melbourne to start with. We were kicked out of Albury at one point. We had to leave Melbourne. We played a home game in Sydney. At one point, we didn't know where we were going to be based, and we were juggling a few moving parts. And you know, ended up settling in Queensland, which has just been a terrific base for the guys to prepare. And even though it was COVID, you know, a lot of COVID challenges. It was really important for us to know that, you know, each week there was still 2 points on offer, and we're still competitive industry, and ultimately you want to win the premiership. And that was one of the goals we set when we relaunched the season, was that, well, if we're in it, we want to win it. And I couldn't be any more proud of that group last night, how they went about it, and the joy and the emotion in that group was unbelievable. So hopefully it brought a bit of joy and a bit of happiness to everyone doing a bit tough back home.
Dave, congratulations. It's been a season like no other. For 123 days, this club's lived out of home, out of state, all those sorts of things. You've kept it all going. What's the glue that holds this team together, do you think?
It's the people, Tim. So the whether it's, you know, obviously Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith, two of the great leaders, but guys like Frank Panisi, who's done a mountain of work, Ryan Hoffman, Brian Phelan, to the people that have stuck together back home, you know, the Bean Counter CFO in Ash Tucker, the Michael Christos, our corporate affairs guy, Michelle Young, our HR person, people and culture. It's a wonderful team effort, and it's a great. My job's pretty easy to get some wonderful people in and set the environment, and they go off and do their thing, and they're so on field. They're so hungry for success. They don't stand still. They want to get better, and we try to apply that off field as well. And I think in sport, as you guys know, it's, you know, you get what you deserve, and I think this group of people, the club, our members, our sponsors that have stuck with us, you know, they've been able to get what they deserve last night, and I couldn't be any more proud of them.
We saw Kung Fu Craig at his best last night, kicking that chair across the coach's box. At one stage, he was screaming down the phone. Who's the poor bloke that's on the other end of that call?
Well, I have to send Jason Riles off for a hearing test today, but he's been the poor guy that's been there. And this year, we all say it's been like no other. The emotion that was going to come out last night, win, lose or draw, was always going to be something else. And I think you could see how much it meant. I think if Craig had his time again, I know he looks at the vision. He always gets so embarrassed. So I'm sure that'll be the case again today when they put it on a replay and the boys are giving him plenty of stick. But like I think it was reflective of just the heightened emotion that went on this year and throughout this year. And as I said, so many challenges thrown at everyone, but particularly there was two teams in our competition that had to relocate for a sustained period of time. And Penrith, they're a terrific footy club and terrific team. I think they travelled once through that period, and such a big advantage for clubs that are able to stay in their home base. So for us to overcome and adapt and be grateful for the opportunity to keep employment and keep the game going is something that was driving the team the whole way through.
Hey, Dave, great. We just needed to touch base with someone just to pass on the congratulations and love that you've got down here in Victoria for the Melbourne Storm. And I know we'll catch up with Pappy, our man, as soon as he surfaces. But we are so proud of you all. So congratulations and enjoy.
We get Pappy on the show, and based on the feedback on all my socials and my text messages last, I'm surprised he didn't get Phil Gould on the show.
We have had a good chat about it. Tim's renamed him Puss Gould this morning, which is a bit harsh, but anyway. Hey, enjoy.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for your support this year.
Well done.
See you, Dave Donaghy. And there's some consistent themes through all that from Richmond and the Melbourne Storm. Get the right people.
It's
the good
people.
Culture.
It's people, Gary. Crap on about, read last week about Essendon, since they moved from Windy Hill to out to the other facility, and people started talking, oh, that's because they moved away. No, it's not. It's about people. You can look at Storm. They've been transferred from one state to another, 48 hours notice. Other clubs have done the same. It's not about your facilities. It's not about your home base. It's not about whether or not you've got world-class benchmark training tools or whatever it is. It's about the people that you employ
and
the connection they have to each other.
Penrith travelled once during that time. I mean, we think Richmond's success is probably one of the greatest grand final successes ever because of how disjointed they've had to be and displaced. Well, Melbourne Storm were with the New Zealand team, but in terms of the displacement of a team, Melbourne Storm have felt that more than anyone else in that competition.
Absolutely, and as we know, like it was like a 48 hours notice, and then they went from one place to Albury, and then they got kicked at they've been shunted from pillar to post, and they still had what it was. Most important, the ingredients that were most important to be able to get the job done.
We haven't answered all your questions from the grand final weekend, so we'll do questions without notice. If you've got one, fire it in. We'll hopefully by the end of today on SEN, we'll have all your questions answered. We're here for Deliberate, Made to Order and Worth. WURTH. Every customer has their worth.com.au.